Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's right. Hallelujah. That's right. Let's do that right now. Go ahead, out of your soul. Out of our experiences, Lord. Because of you and because of your word and because of how great you are. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. Yes, yes. That's it. Let the whole church give praise to the Lord right now. This is His time. This is His time. Yes. Oh, God, when we do, we praise you because you are great. We magnify you, Lord, because you are greater. 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 Hallelujah. 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 And this is what it's all about. Reflecting to God and giving Him praise. He is a great, great God. If we just keep that in our focus today, that would help us. Hebrews chapter 2 and the third verse. Hebrews 2 and 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Salvation at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and then was confirmed unto us by those that heard Him. That first phrase, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? So what would make us think that we can escape by just ignoring being saved? Do you think you can take the risk of neglecting to respond, to do whatever it takes to be saved? And that question at the very beginning of that verse brings me and points me to the title of this message today, The Importance of Salvation. The Importance of Salvation. I don't have any doubt but that salvation's importance is in our hearts and in our minds. But I really want us to consider it. I believe the Lord wants us to consider it scripturally today. And then take an inward look, examination. Really, how important do we feel salvation is? I'm going to ask all over the building, every heart and every soul, would you join together in prayer for this time together in the Word of God and just really pray. I'm not so worried. I want to do a good job, but I'm not so worried about doing a good job as I am of God doing and being able to do a good job. We don't have to pray for Him to do a good job, but in order for Him to be able to work, we have to prepare ourselves. So let's pray. Now, Lord, we present ourselves before You and before Your Word today. Your Word is completely and fully able. We know that. You've given to us in Your Word that which we need. I pray that You would help us to be receptive. Help us to allow You to do the work today that You want to do in our lives, not only for the sake of this message and its time, but then on out through the rest of today and then on out through the rest of our lives. I thank You for Your Word, God. I thank You for Your Word. We value it. We prioritize it. We thank You, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. God definitely and clearly in Scripture states the importance of salvation, and He did it in this one that we read from Hebrews chapter 2. How shall we escape? He's really making a statement with the question. He's saying it is of ultimate importance that we follow His salvation plan. Every saving plan of God that you can trace and find in history was important and it was necessary if the individual was going to be spared or saved. In the ark that Noah built, you had to be in the ark to be saved. You had to be in the house with the blood on the doorpost and lintel if you were going to be saved on that night of Passover and deliverance when Israel comes from Egypt. in Jericho, the whole city was going to be captured and burned, and the walls were going to fall down. But there was a promise made to Rahab that if she was in her house and if her family members were in her house, and she would extend that scarlet cord out the window, that there would be salvation. The plan was, be in Rahab's house to be saved as the battle at Jericho happens. So always, and in this dispensation, the plan is, have faith in God, repent of your life's sins, be baptized by immersion in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins, receive the infilling of God's Spirit, His Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, which will be evidenced in many ways. The first way, one of the first ways, is speaking with tongues, and then there will be righteousness and peace and joy and holy living and a holy lifestyle after that. That's the plan to be saved in this generation. That's the way, and I would say it is the only way to be saved, to make it to heaven, to miss eternal torment in hell. Now, we would all hope that every individual would accept God's explanation of how important a salvation plan is. But I must tell you and point them out so that we would refrain from that thinking, and should somebody have that thinking here today, my intention is to help you to have a correct concept or view of the importance of salvation. Some totally disregard that plan that we just talked about. They just totally disregard it and do not believe it to be necessary. Some have the take it or leave it. You can have that water baptism, repentance, faith, filling with the Holy Ghost. You can take it. It probably won't hurt you. Or you can leave it. It won't matter all that much. Others say, well, maybe. But I'm really not quite sure all of that is necessary. I'm not quite sure that all of the details are necessary. And they may insert one part, well, it's okay to love God and have faith in God, but they want to exclude other parts of the plan. That's their view. I would want to ask, or use the scripture to ask, what Paul did in Romans chapter 2 and verse 3. What are you thinking to ignore or deny the importance of salvation? To say, well, it really doesn't matter this morning if I repent or if I get baptized today or some other time or receive the Holy Ghost in my life. From all of Scripture as the base, I would say, what are you thinking? That's what Paul said. He said, do you think this, O man, that judgest them which do such thing and you do some of the same things, that you shall escape the judgment of God? Are you thinking that God really doesn't mean what he said? Well, I would submit that if he said a cord's got to come out of Rahab's house and you all that are going to be saved, you can't be next door. You can't be outside the door. You cannot be a block away. You got to be in the house. Or God wasn't mincing words when he said, now, this ark is built, and in order to be saved, no matter how much you respect Noah, and no matter how close you are to him, to be saved, you must be in the ark. Our thinking in this culture says that's limiting God's love. No, it's fully opening the door of God's love. The reason he gave us these things, repent and be baptized in Jesus' name, be filled with my Spirit and live a holy and godly life. The reason he gave those requirements is because he loves us. He's not giving us a bunch of hoops to jump over. I would just think back a couple of weeks and ask the question, was rescue important in Texas or in the Caribbean islands or in Florida? Was rescue important? Was salvation important? If you or I would have been on the roof of our houses in one of those areas, Texas, that was being flooded, would we say, it doesn't make any difference if I get saved today? It doesn't make any difference if someone in a boat or the helicopter flies over. Oh, it's reported that while there was still service to do so, they were being flooded with calls because people wanted to be rescued. People wanted to be saved. Was rescue important in those situations and storms? The obvious answer is yes. The answer is all the more obvious when it comes to your salvation now. For your eternity in the future, it doesn't matter how many more services the Lord may give us. But if you are here today and need to repent, God will forgive you. If you have not as yet been water baptized in Jesus' name, when you are, God will forgive and wash away all of your sins. He will wash away all of your sins. And you will have His name on your life. And having been forgiven, you will be made right with God. And you can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost at any moment. What I'm trying to say, I guess, right now is it is all important. If you have not done any one of those three things, you need to do that today. You might say, Pastor, you're not giving me any wiggle room. I've thought through that. I'm not. I'm not. How shall we escape if we neglect, if a pastor or a preacher does not preach with the urgency or preaches the immediacy of the coming of the Lord and the inherent necessity? Folks, either it is necessary to have the new birth, water baptism, Jesus' name, repentance, holy life, filling with the Holy. It is either essential or it is not. And there's no way to straddle that fence and be effective or successful. And so I want to come down on God's side of the fence to say it is very plain in Scripture. And so today an altar is open. Or maybe you might do this standing in your pew and repent, or kneel down and repent. I feel the call and even a bit of a warning. And I don't know how all that's coming right now, but it did just come on me. A warning not to delay. Not to neglect this great salvation, because it is of utmost importance. How can you refuse His restoring power? I would say to you, do not look at salvation. And I have mentioned a checklist, and it is a checklist, but it's more than that. Those steps will take you to a new life of transformation. Your life will be changed and you will be regenerated. And I feel like some of you that have not accepted the full experience as yet, you have an idea of what God can do and what He wants to do in your life after you have repented or been baptized. Well, I feel the urgency. And I think we've got plenty of robes up here. I didn't count them. I don't know. But I pray we have to use them all today. Not for the sake of a good report, and it would be a good report. Not for the sake of the truth that it is urgent. It is important. How shall we escape? I'm going to tell you, the answer and excuse is not going to be good enough. Well, I could have had another chance. But if you don't have another chance, and I'm not into scaring anybody into anything. This is no kind of a disclaimer. But I just want you to know my heart today. This is either important or it is not important. And I know that it's possible that I preach to people that are very, very good people, and you could put a checklist and check every box about all of the good things. But if you have not yet repented, if you have not yet been baptized in Jesus' name, if you have not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and walk thereafter in holiness, then you are not ready for the coming of the Lord. And you have not accepted the covenant plan and the plan of God's salvation. Prepare. Be ready. Do not neglect. You know, it's dangerous in any realm of life to neglect. It's dangerous to neglect our bodies and our health. If we neglect our business, we can't expect it to prosper. If we neglect our property, it will go down and be run down. A student cannot neglect their studying. We dare not neglect our families and our children. So in every area, those important areas that I have mentioned, neglect is dangerous. Somehow, though, people think it is different with the soul and with spiritual matters. They think that they can put it off and they can neglect. They think it is all right to neglect those things. But according to Scripture, it is not all right to neglect those things. To neglect the soul would mean eternal consequences that you and I do not want to face. He said, if you neglect, how will you escape? I encourage you today, ask yourself this question. How shall I escape? You owe it to yourself to ask yourself that question. How shall I escape? I would just say to you today, don't neglect by being without it. Don't neglect by refusing to pray or to be baptized or to receive His Spirit. Don't neglect by denying its necessity. It doesn't matter who says it is not necessary. God has said it is necessary. He said, except a person be born again of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter or see the kingdom of God. Don't neglect your salvation by allowing it to lie dormant. And I would put last on this list, do not neglect your salvation by walking away from the truth because you have decided that you cannot fully follow that truth. Salvation is important. It is necessary. I will tell you as plainly and kindly as I can that according to God's Scripture, if you are not repented in your heart and life today, if you have not been baptized in Jesus' name, and if you are without the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, evidenced by initially speaking with other tongues, and then by righteousness, peace, holiness, and joy in your life, then you are neglecting and you are missing His salvation plan and your salvation opportunity. That salvation plan is an important component of God's covenant with you. That covenant includes the fact and promise that He loves you. That will never change. And it should be so that the church feels the same way that God does. Whether a person has obeyed the plan or has not as yet obeyed the plan, that does not change how God and His church feels about that individual. When it comes to our love, because the only way people are going to be able to come to that salvation plan is one, because God loves them. And then many of them will need a church to open the door and say, yes, God still loves you, and you can walk across that bridge, and there is an opportunity. I'm just saying, I'm glad there's an opportunity today. That's exactly what I'm doing. I'm capitalizing on the opportunity to tell you that God loves you. He loved us enough to deal with our hearts somehow, some way. Praise God. He loved us enough to send a messenger. For some of us, it was a messenger to our predecessors in our family. Sent a man to preach and sent a church to be established where there was teaching. Dad, I'm so glad that Elder Gwynn did not waver on the new birth message. Because if he would have wavered, it would have been likely that my parents could have been shifted. But they continued to believe what the man of God taught. And the reason he taught it is because it was the word of God. I will tell you, we cannot afford to shift away from God's truth in any manner or in any portion of that truth, including the salvation of our souls. He loves you. But another part of this covenant is this salvation plan. What we must do. What we must do. I know what we fight in this culture. In a spirit of independence. And so when any authority figure, and including a pastoral authority figure or a preacher, a minister of the gospel, when they say something about what we must do, immediately there rises up in our human nature, nobody can really tell me what to do. Well, to some extent that's true. Nobody can force you. But somebody owes you, and then you owe to God the attention to what He has required. And in this covenant, the steps that I have reiterated already 3 to 4 times of repenting of your sins after believing in Him and being water baptized in Jesus' name and receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Those are components of this covenant with God. This message is very pointedly for two groups. One, people that have not yet repented, people that have not yet been water baptized and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, living according to God's will. God wants to give you His Spirit today. It's not hard to receive. Just begin to thank Him after you have repented and praise Him. You can get it right in your seat where you would be praying or seated. You can get it at this altar. You can receive it anywhere. You can receive the Spirit of the Lord and just opening your life to Him and pray, and even using some of the lyrics of the song, hallelujah, and praise to the Lord, meaning it out of your heart. There's no certain incantation that you speak and then you get the Holy Ghost. What you do is your heart begins to praise God, and from your heart you begin to love Him and accept Him and believe that that gift of the Spirit is for you. It's also for the group of people who have obeyed those things. Because it doesn't hurt to have that spoken and affirmed again. Maybe for one, just to let you know, God gives this message to let you know you have taken the right steps. Because we hear so many voices out there that we even get to questioning sometimes, is that all really essential? I'm not going to ask you to lift your hand, but I do want to ask the question, has anybody ever question like that? I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I will lift my hand. Because you see so many other good things happening in other places that do not follow God's plan. And you hear many voices and that would try to convince you. And so there can come that thought or that doubt. Is it essential? But there is a resounding yes from Scripture. There is a resounding importance of salvation. This salvation plan is not off of the mark. This salvation plan is for everybody. And if we really feel that and we really believe that, then we'll want to share that with our loved ones. We'll want to help them. And when somebody asks, and I know you can't cram it all down somebody's throat in one setting, but somehow, some way, I'll just say it this way. We are not authorized to give anybody a pass. I've heard this recently within the last month, and it troubled me somewhat. Someone that they were a very good person. They were very close and loving to their family. But it was very also knowledge and known that they had not followed the plan of salvation. And when the person began to talk about them, they placed them as saved or in heaven. Now, none of us are the judges, but God in His Word is the judge. And it is wrong for us to give somebody a pass. Because what that will do, that will take away the fervency and the urgency of our belief system. And then when we are confronted and we have to face that individual, and maybe when it comes down to a salvation discussion, we will not stand as tall or as firm on the Word of God. It's not about what the UPC believes, or it's not about what APC believes. It's about what God has. I am squeezing a little bit here today. I'm trying to take away any wiggle room. For one thing, and this isn't the main thing, but I do know this. For one thing, I'm going to be called into account for this message and every other one. So if I presented in any way something as an alternative to God's plan, even though I would make you feel okay, and you wouldn't feel as uncomfortable as you feel perhaps now if you have not obeyed these things, that would be preaching false doctrine, and I would be called into account for that. Bigger than that is, I don't want anybody to be lost. And for any preacher to preach this kind of a message with some kind of vendetta, they need to get out of the preaching business. That's just my opinion. I almost feel like the little picture that's been in my mind various times. If I'm walking down a street and there's a house on fire, and there's an individual in there that needs to be saved from that, I don't see how I could just go on by and just preach another sermon. Jesus said, you must be born again. He took away the wiggle room. And I know that makes it sound like, oh, again, you're telling me what to do, I got to be. But I'm going to tell you, here's the best way to think about this. You get to repent. I get to repent. We get to be water baptized. Whew, hallelujah. And get rid of all that dirty crud that's in our life that's called sin. Here's another reason salvation plan isn't preached like it should be, is because sin isn't looked at and preached like it should be. We'll do something about that, Pastor. Okay, I will. Not this message. I'll do another. I don't have time. There's somebody that God's been dealing with you and talking to you. And you almost have previously. And you love your family. And you love God. And you love His church. Let me just ask you this. What could matter more than making sure you're following God's plan to assure eternity? What? And you may not want to answer out loud right now. But if you want to further talk about that, I would be welcome to speak with you. But I really want to ask the question, maybe for you to ask it, what could be more, what could matter more than following His plan for a blessed life? I do know that we're vulnerable to selling out because Esau did on that covenant that he had. Because something else mattered more. But you are not only making a decision this morning, but you're making a decision for eternity. Either way, you decide. You are responding and saying, if you would ignore this today, if you are not water baptized as yet, and you have this opportunity today, you are saying, not with your words, but with your actions, you're saying, something else matters more. My doubt matters more. My fear matters more. My pride, it might be for some, or what others might think or say. But I must remind you and inform you. There are people who love you and have prayed for you, have fasted for you, have thought about you, and I would tend to believe that the Lord has answered part of their prayer through this message today. God, let them be in a service where it is very clearly stated about what we must do to be saved. Some of those people like that, you know who they are. But I would say to you, some others are going to surprise you. There are more people that are praying for your salvation. And I would spread this out, not only those who need new birth, but those of us who have it. More people are praying for us than we really recognize. That's just the way God orders it. You are not alone. First, God's with you. And if you got Him, that's enough. But not only is God with you, because He's with you, He's laying your name and your family and your children and you as an individual on their hearts. And you are being prayed for. And sometimes they'll let you know, like the text that was sent this morning about appreciation. Sometimes they will let you know, but many times they will not. But I want to say to you, you are not alone. And this message is not just coming by coincidence. But somebody loves you. So what others might say or think, I'm going to tell you what a whole lot of others are going to say when you bow in repentance, or when you go down in that water in Jesus' name, or when you start speaking with other tongues and lift your hand and you just go at it praising God. I'm going to tell you what a whole lot of people are going to do. They're going to be rejoicing. Now, just like this, something is in us that when we see another, look, heaven rejoices when one person, one sinner repents. They haven't even gotten the Holy Ghost yet. They haven't even been baptized yet. I'm in no position to settle God and heaven down. Like, wait a minute, God, you better wait and see if they really follow through. It isn't our job to be the inspector of whether they're going to follow through. We just need to rejoice when somebody repents. Hallelujah. You know, I just thought about this. If you're clapping and rejoicing, you won't be able to point a finger and say, wonder what's wrong with them. Right? And I don't feel that among us at all. I do not feel that. I'm not saying it's totally absent. I don't know. Nobody said anything to me. But heaven rejoices. Woo. You want to get a party going in heaven? You want to get a worship service going in heaven? Heaven rejoices that somebody comes down and just says, I need a cleansing. I need a changed life. I need to be a new person. I need to be the person that God has made me to be. Heaven rejoices. And I don't know what they do when somebody's baptized in Jesus' name. Woo, hallelujah. You get to wear that name on your life. Brother Spall talked about him putting his name on our life. We get his name. And then then His presence comes to live inside of us. We become the fleshly tabernacle. He said, what, don't you know that your body is the temple of what? The Holy Ghost. Whew. God's living in here. The presence of God is living in here. The power and the presence of God. That's why when we pray, the power of God prays through us and great things can happen. That's why when we pray with somebody or for somebody and lay our hands on them and they may be healed or whatever it is, that's not us. That's the Holy Ghost that is living in us. And so I ask, does the salvation plan mean anything to you? Should the Lord come today or at any time that you have neglected to receive His salvation, you will be what the Bible and God calls lost, which means you have lost the opportunity to have His direction and influence and blessing in your life. And you will have missed or lost the opportunity to go to heaven and spend eternity with Him. You would go to hell. And that is not a pleasant thought or statement to make. But it is true. As a pastor, I don't want that. Believers do not want that. Your family does not want that. God does not want that. When you get on an airplane, the announcer comes and the stewardess and stewards are ready. Before the plane leaves the runway, the crew goes over the safety instruction, how to fasten seat belt, how to place and use the oxygen mask, that your seat cushion can be used as a flotation device. But if you've ever been on a plane and looked around, and I had to look no further many times than my own lap, everybody's preoccupied. Two reasons. Because we've heard it all before, and it seems so remote that something could happen. Heard it before. But I will tell you that Noah's last message just before the rain judgment called sounded like scores of others that he had preached before about judgment. So do not wait for some dramatic service or some dramatic word or special word from God. The last message about your salvation and His coming that you will hear is going to sound like scores of others that you have heard before. But the difference is going to be not what the pulpit has done, but what your heart has done in receiving. Would you bow your head with me, please? I'm asking everybody to pray for sensitivity right now. I want you to pray. You can do it silently right now if you desire. But I want you to pray for sensitivity in your own life and in the life of others that God is dealing with today. Your salvation and your eternity are the two most important things to consider and respond to today. We're just going to take a little time right here. Jesus. I will just leave you with two truths that are definite and there's not a hint of doubt about them. His coming is soon, almost here, and salvation in your life is also right here today. Both are completely and absolutely true. I'm going to ask you as quietly as possible to stand and continue to be very reverent in the presence of God. Somehow I felt eternity in a service before, but I've not felt it just in this sense. I would even call it the spirit and the presence of eternity, because eternal choices that will not only affect eternity, of course, but this life are being weighed out and measured. So I'm going to ask you just to remain reverent before the Lord and accept for those who want to come and either reestablish what has already happened in your life, repentance and baptism and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and you want to make sure, and others that want to come and say, I want to do that, I want to repent, and I want to pray, and I want to be baptized in Jesus' name, and I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Just, the altar is open right now, so you just come as you desire. We're not going to neglect today. Just determine it and be intentional in your mind. I'm not going to neglect this today. Put it off or weigh it out. There's no doubt His Word has answered. Is it true or is it necessary? Your Word. Thank You for Your love here, Lord. Thank You for Your love that is here. I'm glad Your arm is not short. I'm glad Your mercy is abundant and full. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Yes, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus, for Your mercy. It's Your goodness that leads us to repentance, God. Oh, there may be some that say we don't deserve another chance, but Your goodness gives us another opportunity.